While we were singing that there is no other name, the reason for me trying to boot up my what are these things called? Was the fact that I wanted to get the words to a song called Count Your Blessings. You know, one of those real old ones? I won't attempt to sing it for you. That in itself will be a blessing. But it's based on the Genesis chapter 32 passage that you see on the listed on the screen at the present time. And during the course of this sermon, I will be explaining the background to this particular passage and then the aftermath of the passage. So we don't actually need to have it right now, but it is good if you put your finger in that place and we'll get underway. So one of the blessings that I wanted to share with you this morning was me not singing, particularly that singing the song Count Your Blessings, because that old song gives us a little bit of a biased attitude towards blessings at times, because it assures us that we can count our blessings and we count them one by one so that we may see what the Lord has done. But the difficulty is we can't always see the blessings. We can't always experience them when we are tied up with everyday life. If I was to explain to you a personal example, that being in the back of an ambulance with various wires connected to you on the way to the hospital, well, at least the siren wasn't going, so that was at least one blessing for me. But lying in the back of an ambulance, lights were flashing. We were going to Nambour Hospital. It was in the early hours of November the 16th, 2012. Christine was in the car following the ambulance, and there was another ambulance behind that. It sounds rather dramatic, doesn't it? But that was the circumstance that I found myself in at about 2:30 that particular morning. And I found it very hard to be counting my blessings, except for the fact that I can tell you that within 15 minutes I had four paramedics in the bedroom with me after I said to Christine that I think I'm in trouble. I think I'm having, could it be a heart attack? And as soon as I said that, she was out of the bed like a flash on the phone. And as I say, 15 minutes, I had four paramedics in the bedroom. I was able to count the blessing of that, but wondering what on earth this was going to lead to was for me a great concern. I couldn't see at that point of time what the blessings were. I was able to see it looking back, that yes, all of this technology, all of these medical advancements that I were all coming to benefit me at that point of time. And I was able to pray and thank God that happened. While it wasn't the most attacking of heart attacks that would ever be experienced, it was enough for me. So when we're right in the depth of things, it's very hard to find blessings at times. And they may not always seem to be a positive event at the time. Now, if we were to look at the Genesis passage, if you'd like to turn to page 33 of your Bible, and Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 22. I'll just get on. The lead up to this, as we've been in the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the story of Abraham leading on to Isaac and leading on to Jacob and all of the other characters in that story. We have now reached the point where Jacob has decided that he should return home. Events where he has been hadn't been all that great. The immediate event that took place leading him to this decision wasn't at all pretty. We won't look at the precise detail of it, but if you are interested a little later today and you read back the previous chapter, you will see what the events were that prompted Jacob to make the decision that it was about time to go home. And so we pick the story up from Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. It says, "That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak." Just pause there for a moment. Jacob is heading back home. He's going back, in other words, he's going to have to face Esau. Earlier in the story, of course, his twin brother, Esau, Jacob had committed various wrongs against Esau. And Esau was the hunter, Esau was the warrior. And here's Jacob going back, and he knows he's going to have to face him. But this strange event takes place where he, at the river Jabbok. Now in Hebrew, Jabbok, as it would be pronounced with a Y instead of a J, Jabbok, is very similar to Jacob. Jacob, the name of the person. And so in some way there's a little play on words. And this, if you like, is where the story of the three billy goats gruff gets involved. Because you see, Jacob is crossing the river. He's going over the river. And while there's no troll underneath the bridge, there is this person who meets him and wrestles with him. And this is the price that he is going to have to pay to get over that river, to participate in this wrestling match. Now, it's not 3-minute rounds and ding of the bell and a minute's rest in the corner and then come back out. This wrestling match with this mysterious person takes place throughout the night. Now, so all of this circumstance just simply mounts, if you like, the tension that is involved in the circumstance. Here's Jacob, whose name, remember from a couple of weeks ago, he was the heel snatcher. That's basically what the Jacob means. He was the one that was born holding his brother's heel, Esau's heel. He had deprived Esau of the birthright. He had also deprived Esau of his father's blessing. And he was also one involved in the story, as we heard last week, with Leah and Rachel. Now, so up until this point, it may seem that Jacob has got all of the blessings and that they've come fairly easy for him. He got his brother's blessing, he got his brother's birthright, he got his wife, Rachel. He got a little bonus there, of course, because he also got Leah and the maid servants. And so he got them at a cost. The cost of him with Esau was the fact that he had to flee. The cost that he had with Rachel was the fact that he had to work for a total of 14 years before he could marry her. So all of his blessings hadn't been without cost. But nonetheless, he's very favoured in the story, in the Bible story. But now, as I say, in the preceding chapter, an event has occurred and he can no longer stay there. And so he's forced to move on yet again. And so let's read just a little bit more of this particular passage, and we'll pick it up from verse 25. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, it will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and overcome." Jacob said, "Please let's tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. The name change from Jacob, the one who clasped the heel, who took something that didn't really belong to him, that name is changed to Israel. And literally, the name Israel has two meanings. One meaning is striver with God, and the other is prince of God. So it's almost something akin to a blessing, a baptismal blessing, where he has a name change. And that occurs many times in Bible stories where people are given different names. And the name is explained by the circumstance. So here he becomes a different person. And we have this image of him paying that price to get over the bridge, over the Jabbok River. And as I had introduced the Three Billy Goats Gruff story, that Norwegian story about the troll and everything like that, well, I don't want to take that story and superimpose it over the Bible story, but as an introduction, we'll leave it at that point. However, think about Jacob being blessed. Why would he want the blessing? Why did he demand of that person? Now, first, that person, some commentaries regard that person as God. I don't take it that far. I say that this is a person of God to achieve God's purpose, to make him realize that there is a need at times for people to ask for God's blessing. God is present with us. God was present with me on that occasion of travelling to the hospital. I really knew that, but I didn't realise it so much at the point of time. It needed to be brought into my awareness, if you like. And so in many ways, that's what this man does. Brings Jacob to a point of realisation of need. He needs to be forgiven for the things that he has done. And he needs to be prepared for what is ahead of him. Because he's going to face his brother. And he knows his brothers, well, they're not on very good terms. I won't spoil the story by going on further in the passage to say how Esau reacts when he first sees Jacob. But you can read that this afternoon if you're not going up the road to the concert that's being held for the 50th year of the Sunshine Coast. So you've got a little bit of homework. Those people, you've got a choice. Concert or read what happens to Jacob and Esau. Leave that one with you. So, we've reached the point where he's given this blessing, and the blessing is in the new name. That he is now no longer recognised as the heel grabber, but he is the one who strives with God. He is the one who is the prince of God. Now, if we turn the clock back a little bit, we had Abraham, who was promised more descendants than the stars in the sky. And then we had his son Isaac, who was told that he would be more blessed than he would have more descendants than the dust on the earth. And now you have the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac, receiving the blessing of Israel, the name Israel, which henceforth in the Bible becomes the nation, the Israelite nation. And so those weeks ago when we commented that sometimes the blessing is not immediate but is carried out in future generations, we see that starting to unfold in a beautiful way. Might I say that when Jacob does confront Esau in that uncertainty, he sends gifts to begin with. Jacob also divides his wealth so that if he gets overrun, at least he'll walk away with 50%. But when he encounters Esau, Esau reacts in such a way that Jacob is dumbfounded. Leave you to read it later. So, regardless of whatever it cost Jacob, he wanted this blessing, he got it. But there's a price, there's the reminder. And the reminder is that he limps. He limps. And I would see that and suggest that that is a way of God simply reminding him that you've been blessed. Remember that you've been blessed. And many of us carry the scars of battles and the scars of different times and different experiences in our lives, perhaps operation scars, perhaps scars upon our very personality, perhaps in some way we all carry some sort of scar. But we can look at those scars and we can say, this is where God helped. And God was there and God blessed him. So Jacob is given the limp to remind him that God was present and God blessed him. So let's move forward now and let me draw this together as best I might. God's blessings are good news. I can tell you that in a couple of weeks after that first trip to the hospital, I had a second one, and I was to have this procedure of some stents put around my heart, and I can tell you about how I woke up at 6 o'clock on that particular morning, and a real blessing was the fact that the base radio station, the default radio station at Nambour Hospital, is the Christian radio station. And I woke up at 6 o'clock that morning that I had the procedure, and a Mercy Me song was being played. And it was a song that Christine and I had used at a healing service at St. Peter's a couple of months beforehand. I knew that God was there. I knew that blessing. And I knew, as a matter of fact, when I was having that procedure done by the cardiologist, you know, you see on the screen the wire going up, and I could see my heart, huge, big heart there, with the wire going into the heart. And I was giving praise to the Lord. I was sharing tears of joy. So much so the cardiologist said, Bob, get yourself under control. I can do nothing. I realised that at that point in time, one mistake, he could have killed me. He actually said later that I was facing either that eventuality if that wire had gone in the wrong direction. But it was the praise of God in that circumstance that sometimes we see, sometimes we don't. But God is there. God leads us forward. Sometimes it's other people that draw our attention to it. Sometimes we see it when we reflect back. Now, I want you to understand something particularly, and that is that bad things happen for a reason, but that is not God doing bad things to us. Circumstances, everyday life, be it diet, be it lifestyle, can cause harm to our bodies. It's not God causing that harm. I believe that God weeps over the harm that comes our way. I believe that God suffers just like Jesus suffered on the cross. When Jesus called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt that way that many of us feel at times when we're right at the depth. God had never deserted Jesus on the cross. God knew what a task it was to be because of the way in which Jesus approached it, that very circumstance. So bad things do happen and good things come out of them. But sometimes bad things happen to good people. Ever heard that? Yeah. Many of us appreciate that bad things can happen to good people. But then God uses the circumstances of our lives. Does not chapter 8 of Romans remind us that all things will work together for good for those who love God and live according to his purpose? So let me assure you, God will always be with us. God will be there providing and sharing a blessing. Just as millennia ago he was with Jacob, crossing the Jabbok and receiving a blessing, so we will be blessed. I want to leave you with one final question, and that is, how might we help others who are in a time of struggle? How might we help them experience God's blessing? I believe that one of the first things that should come to mind is that we should pray for them and with them. And when and if it is appropriate, that we share something of personal experience that may in some way offer support for them. Not to devalue their circumstance or to devalue the pain that they are going through, because that is their experience, that is their entitlement. But for us to be able to walk alongside them and to share something of our experience, I believe that is one way that we can help others who are going through a struggle. So that's the challenge. Please, how might we help others who are in times of struggle? How might we help them to experience God's blessing?